perhaps I should start with some explanation. I think we might have confused people by what we're doing now. First of all, the purple color, violet color of the liturgy today. Is it Advent already? No. Advent starts 1 week from tomorrow, right? December 1st, first Sunday of Advent. So not Advent yet. No, we chose the purple color because we have designated this Mass as a Mass for all of our deceased loved ones, a Mass for all the dead. And in the Philippines, a Mass for the dead is usually observed with a purple color, although there are other options. So we're not celebrating the saints that are today. We have options to celebrate Saint Clement or Saint Columban. We're not doing that. We're not even taking this Saturday as an opportunity to honor our Blessed Mother, which we like to do. No, we're dedicating this liturgy to all the dead. Okay, and you can even see on the cover of the song sheet an image of, well, people dead and rising into glory. They almost look like candles. They're glowing already. Okay, so that's what we're doing. Well, then you might say, well, then why did we sing the Gloria? Because you don't normally have the Gloria at Masses for the dead. And the reason for that is because there is a glorious dimension to death, meaning the resurrection, and because we are on the threshold of the glorious feast of Christ the King, who is the conqueror over death. So what I'd like to do today, and what we'll do today, is, yes, pray for all the dead, but with awareness of the victory over death, which has been won for us. So is this a solemn observance of prayer for the dead? Yes. Is this a joyful celebration of victory over death? Yes, both. So that's what we're doing today. And this picture on the song sheet captures some of that. Yes, it, in the center is the glorious Christ, the white figure, and all the light really shines from him. But then all the others shining. But then there's one figure who's in mourning. You can see there someone praying, sorrowing for the dead. And this is our first experience. When we think of the dead, we think of the grief that strikes us when someone we love passes away. Now, we just had a Mass for all the dead 3 weeks ago. It was All Souls Day, November 2nd. And I remember mentioning the names of many people who died in the past year, and I encouraged everyone to include your loved ones in the prayers that day, All Souls Day. But it struck me that since November 2nd, a lot of people have died. We're still in the month of November, and we're praying for all the dead. In fact, every Mass, no matter what time of year, is for all the dead, all the living and the dead, because the Mass is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for all time. So that's clear. But in the past 3 weeks, I just sat down before the Mass and said, I can pick out 8 people who I know or have heard of who have died. And so we especially pray for them. First of all, first one comes to mind is Yoli's husband, Franco Varana. He's only 63 when he died. But then there's the brother-in-law of Josephine, Gemma's husband just died. He died on All Souls Day, right? 3 weeks ago. Edward. He was only 47? 46? He was 47. Edward Dondon. I went to bless his body a couple of weeks ago. So those two are close to us. But then I remember Carolina's sister died, Zenny. Her name was mentioned before the Mass. I don't know how old she was, probably in her 70s. When I was in Pulo to bless the, I don't remember, maybe it was Eduardo, there was a child who had been here earlier this year, Kej. He was only 11 years old. He died a couple of weeks ago. Then there was, is Evelyn here? Evelyn Rosales. Her sister-in-law died. Lulu, she was only 66. So then 2 weeks ago, you might remember there was a big group of people here mourning the death of their nephew. He had died in a motorcycle accident up north. He was only 23. John Marcus. Then Bishop Uhayin died 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago. He was a good friend of ours in Tagaytay. So, I mean, here we got. Then the Nanita who works for us, is Nanita here? Her nephew died. It's only 42, Joel, Franco, Bishop Uhayin, Zenny, Kedge, John, Edward, Lulu. The 8 people right there who died in the last 3 weeks. And they say, our first reaction when we hear about this is sadness, sorrow, because of the loss. Especially those who died suddenly or those who died young. We experience that loss deeply. And everyone dies. You don't have to have faith to be sorrowful at death. Everybody does. But the Christian approach to death has an added dimension, which not everybody has, and that is hope for eternal life. Another side to the strange mystery of death, a glorious side, something that we actually celebrate. And since we're on the threshold of the solemnity of Christ the King, I think it's appropriate for us, even though we are respecting the grief of our loved ones who have lost loved ones, it's appropriate for us to also celebrate, because this is actually the bigger part of the mystery. Death has been conquered and will be ultimately finally conquered forever. Today's readings are an indication of this. We had the reading from the book of Revelation, which spoke about the two witnesses or the two prophets who were very powerful and who were calling people to conversion, but then they were killed. And in their death, everybody thought that was a great thing. Everybody who didn't like being called to conversion thought it was great they were dead. But then after 3.5 days, they came back to life and were taken up to heaven, as if to show everybody you can't defeat servants of God simply by killing them. You can't defeat truth. You can't defeat the gospel with death, because God is more powerful than death. And he calls the dead back to life. In fact, he calls the dead to greater life, higher life. So that's part of what's in the first reading. Then in the gospel, we have this passage about the Sadducees who don't believe in life after death. And they come up with this complicated story of the 7 brothers who all married the same woman. And they say, well, obviously there's something impossible here. And Jesus says, no, you're thinking only about the way things work in this life. But in the next life, what he calls the coming age, it's not like that. Marriage isn't like that. People are not like that. Death isn't like that. In fact, people in the next life, they don't die anymore. They live forever. They're like the angels. They're the children of God. They're the ones who rise, experience risen life. So you Sadducees, you don't get it. You're only looking at the earthly side of the picture. You're missing the whole rest of the story. Well, that's what we're reflecting on here. The rest of the story, the glorious side. Let me share with you a little story from my retreat. I was on retreat last week up in Tagaytay, and I was staying at the Somaskans Formation House, and they put me in the room that used to belong to Father Caesar, who used to be the parish priest over in St. Jerome. For a long time. But after he retired, he moved to Tagaytay and he spent his retirement there. And Father Caesar had a lot of interest. Maybe some of you might know him. And in his room, he has on his walls all kinds of artworks and quotes from fathers of the church and saints and pictures of cultural events. It's like a museum, that room. So they put me in his room. And right in front of the desk, so as I sat in my prayer when I was doing my reading, right in front of me was a quotation from St. Augustine's City of God. St. Augustine wrote this very big work, probably one of his greatest works, City of God, which is a long, long reflection on so many things, politics and the history of salvation and how God has entered into history and the classical world and the fall of the Roman Empire and what's the Christian church doing as Rome collapses and all these things, so many, many things. But at the very end of this long book of St. Augustine, City of God, he reflects on where is all this going? What's the end of all this? What's the goal? And maybe this comes to mind because of tomorrow's feast day, right? Tomorrow we celebrate the goal, the conclusion, the victory of Jesus Christ, King of the universe. So anyway, so he has on the wall a quotation from St. Augustine, City of God, the very end of the book. And at the very end of the book, he's reflecting on what happens at the end, and he starts to reflect on the promise of the great Sabbath rest, the rest. There's a rest that we just can't experience in this life. No matter how happy we are, no matter how satisfied we are, we always feel like we want something more. We need something more, something still missing, something still greater. But in heaven, at the end, it won't be like that. It's hard for us to imagine this. It's hard for us to imagine being completely satisfied. Even in heaven now, the saints in heaven, they're still looking forward to the resurrection of the body. They're still looking forward to the final manifestation of Jesus Christ, King of the universe. So the end of time is still to come. But when that time comes, there's a completion. There's a sense of fulfillment. There's a rest. Anyway, the quotation that was on the wall, and I saw this for 5 days. I was looking at this Latin inscription, and St. Augustine writes beautiful Latin. But then there was an English translation at the bottom, and it said something like this, the English one. There we shall rest and we shall see. We shall see and we shall love. We shall love and we shall praise. And that will be in the end without end. That's the kind of the last statement he makes in his book. I mean, the Latin, very beautiful. Ibi, some of you might remember Latin from your school days. Ibi vacabimus et videbimus. Videbimus et amabimus. Amabimus et laudabimus. Laudabimus, we will praise. Ecce quod erit in fine sine fine. It's kind of little rhymes, no? In fine, in the end without end. In fine sine fine. The end without end. So what is he talking about? We will rest. You know, we pray for our loved ones, eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord. We pray that they will have this completion of their journey. And this is what we long for. We will rest and we will see. What will we see? We will see God. The beatific vision. We will see what we long to see and what will satisfy our whole capacity of seeing. We will see and we will love, because God is love, and we will be completely absorbed in his love. Love for God and love for everyone in God. We will love and we will praise. We will endlessly praise God because his plan is so beautiful, so inexhaustible, that we never finish praising. Now, we don't feel like in heaven at that time, we won't feel like we have to do more, but we'll be completely absorbed in praising God. And that will be in the end without end, in fine sine fine, in the end without end. It's the end, but it doesn't end. I said it's hard for us to imagine, but it's good for us to ponder a conclusion that doesn't end, a fulfillment that lasts forever. That's what we're looking forward to. That's what we celebrate tomorrow. And that's what we keep in mind when we call to mind the loss of our loved ones, the death of our loved ones. We say, this is a loss for us. But we pray for their eternal rest. We pray that they will rest and they will see, that they will see and they will love, that they will love and they will praise. And we look forward to the day when we will join them in resting, seeing, loving, and praising.